on DAB Digital Radio, Digital TV, downloads and online.
This is Five Live.
Now, let's talk about the UK box office top 10 before we come on to the reviews. You will be talking about The Taking of Panem 123, G-Force, Land of the Lost and Crossing Over. But UK box office top 10 at 10, Antichrist.
Yes, this is the film that Dr. Mark Kermode last week, brilliantly, I thought. So this, we are sitting in for, let's face it, legends. We're like the Abbott and Costello. They're like Laurel and Hardy. We're like the Abbott and Costello. You know, Laurel and Hardy were geniuses. We're kind of quite funny and all right, but, you know.
I think we both know that we can only lose today.
We can only lose, yeah. Anyway, Mark said last week that it's both Lars von Trier's best film and his worst film. It's both terrible and good, and I know what you mean. So for me, the first hour is kind of a bit boring. Then when all the really horrible stuff starts at the end, it gets very interesting. But people have described it as the most disgusting film ever made without seeing it, which is obviously ridiculous.
Can I read an email on that point?
Yeah.
In last week's discussion, Mark was very insistent about not taking seriously anyone's opinion of Antichrist if they haven't seen the film. This insistence from some film critics on seeing a film before being allowed to have any opinion on it opens up an interesting moral dilemma. It's a really interesting email, ready?
Yeah.
I strongly believe that the only way to have an impact on what is produced by a market is not to pay for what I don't like, and many other people follow the same logic. So, following Mark's comments, even though I don't like what I've heard about Antichrist and have heard from many authoritative sources that it's misogynistic and ugly, in order to have the right to pass comment on it, I need to pay a cinema £10 and take a few hours out of my day. See where this is going?
Yeah.
If I then dislike the said film and agree that it is misogynistic and ugly, I will have added money to the film's coffers and increase the chances of this kind of film being made again. Not to mention, put myself in a bad mood, which then has a knock-on effect on my partner and everyone else I meet, say, for the next 24 hours.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. I mean, that's all fine, but don't go writing articles in the Daily Mail about it, though, saying, even though I haven't seen it, I know this is a disgusting film, which is what one writer did. And people have written about it and given opinions on it and saying, this is a terrible or disgusting film. Without, I think to say, I don't want to see it because I don't want to contribute money to what I think will probably disgust me is fine.
It's
that's fine. No argument with that at all. But don't pontificate about it when you haven't seen it.
Georgina Burns goes on, there are some things we really don't need to see to know that we don't like them. I knew I didn't like the Judd Apatow film genre because of all the boorish clips I saw, but following the film critic logic of tasting before passing comment, I felt obliged to watch one just in case I'd missed some profundity or important subtext. I watched Superbad and felt like I needed a shower afterwards. I paid for that DVD rental and contributed to a sexist, misogynistic industry of films designed for spotty 14-year-old boys. How about that?
Well, I like Superbad.
I like Superbad.
Yeah, it's funny. And that immediately marks us out from Mark, who hates all the Judd Apatow films.
Okay, 9, Moon.
Moon is an absolutely wonderful, one of the best films of the year. David Bowie's son directed, fantastic Sam Rockwell. I know this has been discussion whether it's a spoiler or not, but he has already been discussed on the show. He plays more than one person in this film, and he's amazing.
This person says, Ian Stevenson says, I went to see Moon last night at the QFT Queen's Film Theatre in Belfast. Just a quick note to say that the film was great and played to a packed house. I am sure you've had many similar emails about why a fantastic film like this does not get a nationwide release. QFT is also a fantastic independent cinema.
Only on 59 screens, and I mean, it's true. It'd be brilliant if it was on a few hundred instead.
At 8, My Sister's Keeper.
Oh, the weepiest weepy of all weepies ever made, possibly, and I found it excruciating.
You have seen all the top 10, haven't you?
Even though
you're not by trade a film critic.
Well,
that's impressive.
Because I'm reviews editor as well of the magazine. I get invited to all the films as well, and I help decide what films should be doing, all that kind of stuff. So, brilliantly, I get to go to films, yeah.
Okay, 7, Public Enemies.
I found it rather dull, and I'm not going to agree with everything Mark Kermode. I've already disagreed with him about Judd Apatow films, but he's right when he says this is a period film, and it's filmed on digital stock, and I just find it very irritating the way it looks. And the tragedy is Michael Mann, who's can direct beautiful films, Heat's one of the best looking films, and he's decided to film everything in digital, and it's very annoying.
Heat also goes on too long. This is quite a long film, isn't it?
All his films are very, very long, overly long.
At 6, Transformers.
Talking of overly long, 2.5 hours, of mind-numbing explosions and special effects.
Here's an email that says, being a 17-year-old male, I am probably the target audience for Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, and it's been in the top 10 for far too many weeks. I thought I'd give it another beating to see if I can be pushed, to see if it can be pushed out of the charts. It's an appalling film in so many ways. The script is incredibly dire. The running time leaves you hunting around the cinema for an available razor blade. And Megan Fox is just simply nauseating. But the worst crime committed here is the fact that this type of film holds up its hand proudly and declares, OK, so I'm not the Godfather, but I'm so much fun. Yeah. This isn't fun. It may look good on the outside, but in truth, this is a crime against cinema at the lowest level. Barnaby Walter, as he says, trying to push it out of the top 10.
Yeah, you can have good popcorn movies. That's the terrible thing. You can have really good mainstream entertaining films, but like we're talking about Raiders of the Lost Ark, classic, brilliant, brilliantly made, witty film. Transformers is just diabolical. It has become the 10th biggest box office hit of all time in America.
Amazing. Right, at five, The Hangover.
Well, this is where I know Mark Kermode didn't like The Hangover. He doesn't like many comedies. He only laughs three or four times. I thought it was funny. I'm sorry.
I agree. I thought it was funny.
Really funny film. And a good idea, you know, what happens in this mysterious night where they all ended up, you know, there's a tiger in the bathroom and they don't know what happened.
That's a bit I didn't like. I thought the joke went a bit too far. The way the film starts, where the bride's looking for the groom and the friend rings up and says, it's not happening, you're not going to get married today. That was exciting.
Absolutely,
I think when they wake up and there's, as you say, a tiger roaming around and there's a baby in the cupboard, I thought maybe that joke's gone a little bit too far, but I found it funny. Although I did watch it in a cinema where they serve alcohol and I think I may have had a lot of wine.
What I would say is people saying this is the funniest film ever. It's not. It's not a classic by any stretch. It's just a pretty funny film.
At four, Bruno.
Well, you know, it's now available in its two versions, 18 and 15. I don't think it's anywhere near as good as Borat, Sacha Baron Cohen's first film. But the release of the 15 certificate version, interesting, is boosting its box office because it's doing well at four.
It had quite a dramatic drop-off, though, didn't it?
It did. Dramatic drop-off. And that drop-off has been lessened by the fact they've released the 15 version, because this is a film perfect for 15-year-old boys. That's who it's really there for. It's so rude and crude. And the fact that they were denied the chance to see it because of the 18 certificate, because it was so rude and crude, was ridiculous. So, quite rightly, but it does show that you can't exactly call it all great work of art, the fact that they're prepared to cut all these bits of it and release it in a 15 certificate.
The scene on the chat show in Dallas is astonishing. That's a brilliant bit of comedy.
Well, that's a brilliant bit. And I think the ending in the kind of the Raw, whatever it's called, wrestling match, Ultimate Fighting match, is amazing as well. But the ultimate ending, the bit with the song, the charity song with Bono and Elton John, is a disgrace. Ruins the whole film.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's not
totally
necessary,
awful,
is it?
Terrible self-indulgence.
Maybe they made it and knew it wasn't that good, but thought, we've gone to all this effort, and Bono's going to say, why am I not in your film? At three, Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs.
It's perfectly enjoyable family 3D comedy. This is the most successful 3D film ever in this country. Fact.
Yeah, but that was competition. Jaws 4, that was in 3D, wasn't it?
There's loads of 3D films these days. What are you talking about? Everything's in 3D.
All
the cartoons, all the CGI cartoons. Monsters vs. Aliens earlier this year, that was in 3D. That we're doing this week, the G-Force is in 3D. Loads of them in 3D.
They passed me by. Apparently 3D is the future. They're going to make 3D more than cinema or TV 3D. And all
I don't think it's the future.
At two, The Proposal.
Sandra Bullock. I really like Sandra Bullock. Huge fan of Sandra Bullock, and many people are. This is just a very straightforward, average romantic comedy.
The idea is good. I saw the trailer.
Yeah, well, yeah, go on.
Well, she needs a visa, doesn't she?
Yes.
So marries a bloke in the office so she can stay in the country.
Green card.
A green card.
It is green card.
Yeah, well, that's okay. So it is green card.
Yeah.
But I thought that looks okay.
No, it's perfectly entertaining. It's not as horrible as other people like Mark would say.
No, when I say it looked okay, I thought the initial idea looked okay. Then as the trailer wore on, I thought it looked rubbish. But it slightly annoys me, if I'm honest, that rom-coms do so well. This is Sandra Bullock's biggest ever film already, isn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, yeah. No, it is. I know what you mean. It is depressing,
terrible Jennifer Aniston films that seriously go quite near the top of the charts.
Absolutely. The rom-com is the genre of film they churn out very, very average, without it seeming a buy or leave as to whether it's going to be witty or funny or clever or not.
And at one, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Yes, officially the second best Harry Potter film, which I agree about. And officially, as Simon points out every week, quite rightly, the ending weirdly ruined. Changed from the book.
Sorry if I'm a bit late to all of this. I haven't listened to today's show yet. This is in reference to last week. I write regarding Mark's interpretation of the famous unhappy event in the latest bespectacled unwizened wizard spectacle. spectacle. Having not read the books, I was less uncomfortable with the film's version, especially since I disagree that Harry fails to act purely because he was told not to. Unless I miss something, at that point he is unaware of Snape's involvement in the fiendish plot. Indeed, since Dumbledore specifically asked for Harry to find Snape, surely Harry stands back assuming he has arrived to help. I must say, it doesn't mean anything to me.
No, I think there was a spoiler in there as well.
That was, dear.
No, we're not supposed to. Yeah. Oh. Still, we'll leave that.
Andrew says, either way, I didn't feel that Harry sat out purely on his headmaster's say-so. And he then says, mind you, it's 3 a.m. and I'm discussing the plot of a children's film. I need help.
Brilliant. I want to know what J.K. Rowling thinks, by the way. That's all I want to say about it. I want to know, what does she think of the change? There's definitely a changed ending from her book to the film. A crucial change. I'm fascinated to know what she thinks.
To take it, Pelham 123, G-Force, Land of the Lost. Let's start with... Crossing over. Who's in it?
Well, how about this for a cast? Harrison Ford, Ray Liotta, Ashley Judd, Jim Sturgis, who's very kind of hot young actor who's in Across the Universe, the other Berlin Girl, stuff like that. It's got a good cast. You'd think, you know, major exciting film. It's about
no doubt. It's a great picture, Boyd.
It's kind of got that Crash sensibility about it. Lots of different stories stitched together. Do you see Crash? The year that Crash came out. Brokeback Mountain was the film that was going to win all the Oscars that year, and then Crash came along at the last minute and won Best Picture, which I thought was a disgrace to humanity. And Brokeback Mountain is a much better film. That time will agree with me on that.
I think time already agrees.
Yeah, time already agrees with me. Some people like Crash. This is kind of sub Crash. It's a very similar format, dealing with very serious topics. The main topic is illegal immigration to America. So it's all these different stories, different strands. You know, different lots of illegal immigrants, Iranians. There's a Jewish guy who's trying to get his green card by singing in a school, and he's actually an atheist, but he's Jewish by birth. He's trying to get in there.
Is that funny?
No. There's a Korean youth who's kind of, you know, wants to be with his parents want him to be a nice, upstanding boy. A gang try to lure him into a horrible world of violence. There's a really, really violent scene in there. This is an 18 certificate, by the way. And quite rightly, because there's loads of nudity, extreme violence and swearing, all of that. And Harrison Ford himself plays a kind of a man dealing with all these illegal immigrants. He's a kind of cop who's supposed to be finding illegal immigrants and does find illegal immigrants and sort them out. But he's torn. He's full of liberal guilt. This film is Liberal Guilt the movie.
Is it?
It's all about liberal guilt. We haven't got a clip from it, probably because they couldn't find anything that wasn't going to sound really, really stupid. That's probably unfair on the film industry, so they'll hate us.
Is it any good as a film?
This is the film for me that is one of the worst films of the year. It manages to be incredibly pompous and serious and deal with subject, and yet be incredibly exploitative at the same time. One of the other plots is Ray Liotta works for the people sorting out the green cards. He gets into this relationship with an Australian actress who wants a green card, and they get into this kind of sex slave relationship, and she's nude many, many times in this film for no reason whatsoever. Shown in having extended long showers so that we can show her nude. The violence is incredibly exploitative. So it's managed to be pompous and about a serious subject and exploitative at the same time. It's terrible. It's rubbish. It's awful. Harrison Ford, what was he thinking? Terrible, terrible choices of film. Hasn't made a decent film for a long time.
Let's move on to Land of the Lost.
Yes.
What is it?
Land of the Lost. Well, Land of the Lost was a 70s TV show, American TV show, created by Sid and Marty Croft, who also made The Banana Splits. Do you remember The Banana Splits?
Yeah, of course.
Brilliant. That was their big famous, which was shown here a lot. And Land of the Lost was shown here as well. They also did H.R. Puff and stuff. You know, these are clever people.
The Banana Splits a cartoon?
It had cartoon bits, it had live action bits, it had all kinds of stuff. It was great. But the live action people, there were men in big Banana Splits costumes. It was amazing stuff. It was completely weird. The thing about them is they're famous for creating really out there, weird. Some people say, you know, it's like you're on drugs or something. That's what people say. They denied any use of drugs in the creation of these things. And this is a reimagining, as they say, of this show turned into a 90-minute film. Turned into a Will Ferrell vehicle. The thing about Land of the Lost, the TV show, was it was about a family, a dad and his two kids going to this alternate universe, going through kind of a wormhole, and going to this one, you've got Will Ferrell as a scientist, and Anna Friel is kind of like his assistant, who begs to be his assistant, and a mate of his, basically, and they go into this alternate universe with dinosaurs and creatures and stuff. And let's hear a clip.
Day 2, 0600, Zulu time. Did not sleep last night at all. Not one bit. Still no sign of the tachyon amplifier, our only way home. Field rations are running dangerously low. Thusly, I've made the determination that if need be, if faced with starvation, we will cook and eat Chaka. I've been thinking about this a lot, actually. If chaka meat were the secret ingredient on Iron Chef, I'm sure Bobby Flay would probably serve it with roasted red peppers and a dash of cumin and a braised polenta. It wouldn't be an easy thing to do, but if you slow roast the little guy, I'm sure that chaka meat would just fall right off the bone.
Will Ferrell there.
Talking about this character Chaka.
Being funny.
But trying to be funny.
Talking
there about this character Chaka, who's kind of like a little funny kind of creature, kind of like a little primitive. Now, the problem with Land of the Lost is that, for me, Will Ferrell, I think he's incredibly talented and can be very funny, but to me, every film he's done, pretty much, except for the odd one or two, like the Woody Allen film we did, Melinda and Melinda, and Strange in the Fiction, which was a very good film about 3 or 4 years ago, all these other films, which are his vehicles for him, they clearly let him improvise, you know, for ages in these scenes, change the script, do what he wants to, do his shtick, and I think he was probably doing it there in that clip we heard, and they go on far too long. Even that clip, that went on too long. Him talking went on too long.
Well, they worked it with the Warm Roads Newsreader.
That was good, yeah, Anchorman. Well, Anchorman. But if you see that on DVD, there's a version of that that's like 2.5 hours just of him improvising.
Right.
And people go, oh, you're brilliant, Will, clearly you're fantastic, you're funny. But you just can't actually... A lot of the scenes in this film, clearly where they've let him do what he wants to do, aren't that funny. And
how's Anna Friel?
She's fine. She's window dressing. It's a nothing role. It's a nothing character. She's perfectly good in it, and I think it will do her career well. So she can be, you know, an attractive woman doing perfectly well. But she's neither funny nor interesting. He's not funny enough. The funniest bit is the first 5-10 minutes of the film where he's interviewed on TV and he's funny there.
Let's be clear. You hate it.
I didn't hate it as much as Hot Crossing Over. I hate it. This is just
on the scale.
Yeah.
Crossing Over's at hate.
Hate.
Okay, this is actively strongly disliked.
Strongly disliked it, yeah. It's just not funny enough. And it's completely... And it should be a big family film. It looks cheap. It kind of looks cheap and nasty, really. Which, for a big fat Hollywood family film, is a big disappointment.
Right, let's move on. So we've had one that you hate, one that you actively dislike.
Yeah.
That was Crossing Over, followed by Land of the Lost. Let's move on to the Taking a Pelham 123. A bit short time to read out these emails we're getting about Taking a Pelham 123. But people are essentially saying... They don't want to see it because they like the original so much. The original was a classic.
Well, I don't think... No, I think the word classic is going too far. It's not... No. It's not The Godfather. You know, it's not... It's a good 70s...
Film.
It's a good film.
Robert Shaw, Walter
Great
Matthau...
Cast. Shaw and Matthau are brilliant. I watched it last night. So it's a good film. It's very slow. You know,
it's not that slow.
Oh, have you watched it recently? It's quite slow.
If it's the taking of a train, Boyd, how slow can that be?
It's about that. Well, it takes about 20 minutes for the train to be hijacked in the original. The new one, it's the train's hijacked before the tiles are finished. That's the difference. Okay. And you can't make a film that slow these days. So this one, so it is about the taking, the hijacking of a train in New York. And in this version, you've got John Travolta heads the gang hijacking the train. Denzel Washington is the man who works for the Manhattan Transport Authority, who's trying to deal with the hijacking of the train. Let's listen to this clip.
Oh, yeah.
Tell them 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Back at you.
All right. The mayor has agreed to pay, and they're getting the money together right now.
Good. Well, you know, you got 28 minutes, so I advise them to make haste.
I'm sure he will.
So is your first name Walter?
Excuse me?
Your name, is it Walter?
Yes, it is.
Good. Well, what do you do in dispatching trains? I thought you were some sort of MTA big shot.
I work for the MTA. Today they put me at dispatch, and my bad luck.
Oh, I thought you didn't believe in bad luck.
I said.
I didn't believe in fate.
Do you believe in rigged contracts for new trains?
Look, what are we talking about this for?
Look, I need to know who I'm dealing with.
You need to know who you're dealing with.
Yeah, I want to know who I'm dealing with. I mean, are you a bad penny?
Right, now we could hear Denzel Washington in there. Ednery Green says, I've not seen it yet, but he seems miscast in the Walter Matthau role. In the original, Matthau is believable as the unfit workaday everyman, whilst Washington, being a macho Hollywood man, just does not sit right.
Yeah, I think they've got a point there. I mean, in the original, Walter Matthau's funny. I mean, he's cast because Walter Matthau was a brilliant comedian actor, and he's funny in the film. It's a larger than life role. Whereas Denzel is Denzel. I mean, for me, this is a cliche. It's a phoned in performance. It's like every other Denzel Washington performance you've ever seen when he's a kind of fairly heroic. He's flawed, fairly heroic character. Travolta's good though. He's good in it. But the whole film is stolen by James Gandolfini, plays the mayor of New York.
I didn't know he was in it.
Yes, and now you're going to see it. See,
I'm gonna see
and that. He's brilliant. brilliant as the Merovingian. He's only in it on screen like half hour or so, but he's fantastic. And this is a very efficient, I say surprisingly good night out of the pictures. I would recommend it. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. And the original isn't so classic you shouldn't remake
okay.
it.
Okay, so we've gone from hate to actively dislike to surprisingly good.
Yes.
Finally, G-Force. What is G-Force?
G-Force. Let's not bother with the clip for the show.
No,
we can,
no, go on.
I'll tell you what it is. This is computer animated guinea pigs who have a force which is work for the government, and they basically like spies. They're kind of like Mission Impossible of guinea pigs. So this is a family film. It's in 3D, as I mentioned before. You said no 3D films are out at the moment. It is in 3D. The 3D is perfectly good. It's got good voice interest. The people who play the guinea pigs: Nicolas Cage, Sam Rockwell, brilliant in Moon,
yeah.
John Favreau, Penelope Cruz. Is in the Almodovar film we're talking about before.
Yeah.
Very good cast, all playing guinea pigs. And Zach Galifianakis, who's in The Hangover, which we're talking about before, he's the main live-action guy. So he's their boss. He's dealing with them. He's totally wasted. Not funny for one second. Not given anything funny to do. This is a perfectly serviceable family film. It's
somewhere between the last two reviews.
Yeah. Inoffensive, fun, but it's kind of slightly disappointing because it's got Zach in it, and he's a really funny, talented guy, and he's totally wasted. It looks great. The 3D is well used, I think. And if you're a family and it's summer holidays, I'd definitely go and see this and not Land of the Lost.
Okay, crossing over, bad. Land of the Lost, quite bad. Taking a Pelham 1-2-3, pretty good. G-Force, good.
Yeah, film of the week is the Taking a Pelham 1-2-3, though. Surprisingly
and worst
good.
Film of the year.
Possibly worst film of the year, crossing over. You know, if it's showing where you live, that's it, because it's worse because it is that excruciatingly awful.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.